Hey, welcome back in. It's the Titans Wire podcast on TitansWire.com, part of the USA Today NFL Wire Network. I'm the managing editor of the Titans Wire, Kyle Madsen, and joining me today is senior contributor Justin Mello. The Titans, not their best effort this week in Houston. They lost 57-14, and Justin, we were talking off air, but there's not a lot to really recap from this game. I think it was one of those things where you just kind of burn the tape and go get them next week.
Yeah, Kyle, it was obviously not ideal. I think you're right. I think you kind of burn the tape. You kind of hope that some pride, you know, you got some pride and everyone's kind of feeling a little hurt and down right now and just try to pick things back up. As, you know, Malarkey mentioned today, one game doesn't define them. So you just kind of got to pick back up and get ready for next weekend and kind of make up for it.
I think two things from this game that we can take, though, because the turnovers obviously were abnormal. They're not going to turn the ball over five times a game. The running game couldn't get going. That's not something that I think we're going to see. They're not going to fall in too many 21-0 holes, I don't think. But one of the things I think we can take away is another slow start by the offense. They got a quick touchdown in week one against the Raiders, but didn't do much else for the rest of the first half. They went into halftime with 6 points against the Jags and then 9 points against the Seahawks. And again, their first three possessions this week, it was an interception and 2 3-and-outs, and it was just this time the defense couldn't hold down the fort while the offense figured it out. So that's something that's starting to get concerning to me, because that's four straight weeks where the offense hasn't come out firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kyle. I think that's probably one of the larger concerns you're going to take away from this game once you've calmed down a little bit. As you mentioned, we saw the slow starts in Seattle and Jacksonville, two games that they won. But again, they went into half there with very close, low-scoring games. So you kind of got to have that fear that, okay, this can happen. You know, we're not going to be bailed out by the defense every week. If we fall behind, I don't think this is a team that's really built to play from behind. They're a team who wants to run the ball. They want to grind it out. They want to grind the clock. So this isn't a team that's built to play from behind, and you're right, it's definitely concerning.
Yeah, and one of the issues I mentioned there, and something that kind of sprouts from that, you mentioned this team isn't built to play from behind. I mean, they got it to 24-14 after being down 21-0. It was a close game before it kind of spiraled again, which leads me to the next issue. Their defense could not figure out how to stop Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Watson finished the game 25 of 34 for 283 and 4 touchdowns. They did get the one interception at the end of the first half, but he had a 125 rating. DeAndre Hopkins had a huge game, 10 catches on 12 targets for 107 yards and a touchdown. Deshaun Watson, when targeting DeAndre Hopkins, had a 131.6 quarterback rating, which is pretty good. And the Titans just couldn't figure out how to stop him. They couldn't figure out how to stop Lamar Miller in the running game. Houston ran for 173 yards and 2 scores. It was just an ugly performance from a defense that hadn't really been dominant to this point, but they were able to win games, and they did not do that on Sunday.
No, they didn't, Kyle. I think it's, for the most part, everyone will kind of have to look themselves in the mirror and say, you know, my bad. I think it was bad coaching and even worse execution. Yeah. On the defensive side of the ball, especially. One thing that really kind of bothered me is going into this game, I thought they'd be able to get some pressure on Watson. Obviously, he's an athletic guy. He can move around. He can escape pressure. But this is an offensive line in Houston that hasn't been very good prior to yesterday. I mean, in the first game alone against Jacksonville, they gave up 10 sacks. Granted, about half of those were when Tom Savage was under center. He's a statue in the pocket. But it was an offensive line that wasn't very good. And the Titans seemed comfortable rushing only three on numerous occasions, which I found incredibly strange. They couldn't get to the quarterback. Watson just hung in there and found guys open. Hopkins was routinely open. I have some serious questions about their plans on what their plans were to cover Hopkins yesterday, because I saw a bunch of things I didn't like. But again, it just seemed like a very strange game plan. Very strange.
Yeah, I thought the times they did bring extra pressure and get in Watson's face, you could tell how uncomfortable he was in that situation. And the one interception he threw, he kind of escaped pressure and set his feet and just made a wild throw down the field. And he did that several times where he just aired it out to kind of nobody, and the Titans weren't able to take advantage of that. And I think they would have been able to take advantage of it had they brought additional pressure, but it certainly seemed like the game plan was, hey, we're going to make the rookie throw. We're going to rush three, we're going to drop eight, and we're going to make this guy pick us apart, and he did that. Deshaun Watson's obviously going to be a very good player, but it also speaks to some of the personnel the Texans have on offense with Will Fuller. They have DeAndre Hopkins. It was Will Fuller's debut. He had a couple of touchdown catches, and then Bruce Ellington is having kind of a career resurgence in Houston. All three of those guys, tremendous athletes, and it just looked like the Titans didn't have the personnel to cover them.
No, and I think they have to reevaluate their coverage plans going forward. Like, I counted at least five times where Bryce McCain was covering DeAndre Hopkins. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me. McCain is the team's fourth best corner, and you're asking him to cover one of the league's best receivers one-on-one on numerous occasions. I think for this team, to have paid Logan Ryan $10 million a season, I didn't count one time where Ryan was covering Hopkins one-on-one. I'd like to see more of that going forward. Ryan, as I mentioned, making $10 million a year, I'd like to see him at least attempt to cover the team's number one receiver. And that's not on him, but that's obviously on LeBeau and the rest of the coaching staff.
Yeah, especially since that's what he did in New England. New England's game plan for DeAndre Hopkins when they played was to have Logan Ryan kind of shadow Hopkins. So he had some experience doing that. I thought it was very interesting that they didn't have him doing that. And it's not like Ryan was hurt. He played 80 snaps. It's 95% of the snaps he was on the field for. So it was just a strange defensive game plan. And I think what that ultimately comes down to, as you mentioned, execution. And that's something Mike Mularkey talked about today in his press conference. But I think the Texans also brought to the table some things on offense that the Titans just were not ready for. I don't think they were ready for Deshaun Watson to be as advanced as he was throwing the ball. And I think they punched him in the mouth early and they couldn't recover.
Absolutely. And I'd imagine there had some communication issues or coverage breakdowns of sorts. Because how many times did Watson throw a 4-yard pass that went for 30 plus yards? Especially in that first half, we saw multiple times either a running back or tight end rolling to the right and just having no defender within 20 yards of him. That was extremely confusing to me, and that more than likely falls on the linebackers. I heard a number of people kind of pointing the finger at Avery Williamson a little bit for how he played yesterday, especially in coverage. But you're right, it just seems like the Texans threw things at them that they hadn't seen or they weren't prepared for. Not at all.
So after we said we can kind of burn the tape on that game, we spend almost 10 minutes talking about it. So let's kind of move on from there. Obviously, the biggest thing that came out of this game was Marcus Mariota getting hurt. Reportedly, he strained his hamstring on his second touchdown run around the right end. Came back in for one more drive, threw an interception at the end of the half. And Mike Mularkey said today that it was because Mariota couldn't really step into his throw. I got an MRI today. It's a strained hamstring. He's day-to-day. He's going to be a game-time decision Sunday. Matt Castle's going to get a ton of reps in practice this week. I would imagine he'll play the way the Titans are handling him being Matt Castle. I imagine Matt Castle will play, knowing how the Titans have kind of handled hamstring injuries this year and being very cautious with them. But is this just another reason, or is this something for you where you're looking at this and saying they need to handle Marcus Mariota differently? Because this is now the third year in a row that he's had some kind of injury, minor or major, that's going to cause him to potentially miss time.
See, I very often debunk the notion that he's injury prone. I don't believe he's injury prone. If you look back to the first year, his injury came on a very dirty, disgusting hit by Oliver Vernon, which he was fined for. The injury last year I thought was a bit of a freak occurrence. 300-pound
sure.
man fell on his leg. That's going to break anyone's leg. This one is a little – I think what bothers me more about this one, to be honest with you, has nothing to do with Marcus at all. It's that DeMarco Murray suffered through a hamstring injury in preseason. Corey Davis is still hampered by a hamstring injury that he suffered in before preseason
yep.
started. I guess it was camp. Delanie Walker's been bothered by a hamstring over the last 2 weeks or so. He's been kind of questionable. He's obviously played, but the hamstring's been bothering him. And Jonathan Cyprian's been out for about 3 weeks now, also with a hamstring. So that's what raises the red flag to me more than anything, is what are we doing that's causing people's hamstrings to hurt? And I think Mularkey's baffled by it as well. He mentioned that we haven't changed our training regimen from last season when we didn't really have any hamstring injuries. So that's a bit of a that's a confusing situation to me. But regarding Marcus, if you look at Mularkey throughout his Titans tenure, he's been very safe with Mariota the entire time he's been there. He will hold him out when necessary, and I expect that he'll hold Marcus out of this Sunday's game against Miami.
Yeah, I think so too. That's just kind of been their MO with these hamstring injuries. Corey Davis didn't play at all in training camp. DeMarco Murray sat out most of training camp and most of the preseason. And so I think they hold him out for this one game, because ultimately if they lose in week five, they're 2-3 and they have 11 games to go, and you can go those 11 games with a healthy quarterback if you do in fact lose in week five. So I think it's not the end of the world if Mariota doesn't play. And it was encouraging that Mularkey compared the injury more to DeMarco Murray's, where he only missed some time during the regular season, versus a Corey Davis or Jonathan Cyprian, where those guys are out for extended periods, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks. So I think that's at least encouraging that it's not something a little more major than that.
Absolutely, and you're right. I think it's important where, you know, everyone's got to kind of calm down after yesterday's loss and come back down to earth. They're sitting at 2-2. You mentioned week five not being the end of the world. This is a division, despite how great Houston looked yesterday, this is still a division where I think 9-10 wins absolutely wins this division. And 9 might do it. 8, heck, 8 might even do it. So you're right. I think this is a week-to-week thing where you have to kind of remain calm and stay the course, so to speak. Houston's got a very difficult matchup next week with Kansas City. I imagine that they'll lose that game. Kansas City looked phenomenal this year. So I think you're right. I think you got to play it safe with Marcus. If he does sit out Miami and they do lose, as you said, you got 11 games to go and plenty of time to come back and win this division. My biggest issue, to be honest with you, on the flip side, I'm arguing against myself here. Yeah, this is a three-game stretch that's incredibly winnable. You know what I mean? Miami, you've got Indianapolis Colts on Monday night the following week, and then you got the Cleveland Browns the next week before you head on your bye. So this is a three-game stretch where they can very realistically come out of this 5-2, and you'd be feeling real good heading into your bye week.
Yeah, and coming out of the bye week, not to get too far ahead here, but then they get Baltimore at home, and Baltimore hasn't looked great, and then they get the Bengals at home, and the Bengals haven't looked great. So certainly not the end of the world, and the biggest thing you have to do as an NFL fan, I'm the fan police here, I'm going to tell you how to act. But I think it's an important thing for a fan to kind of look at the entire season through 4 weeks. Game to game, your team isn't changing completely. You can't be Super Bowl winners 1 week and then be first pick in the draft the next week. You have to look at kind of everything in the whole performance. And if you look at the Titans' performance through 4 weeks, they're in a better position than they were last year when they finished 9-7. And they looked great in weeks 2 and 3. In week 1, they didn't look awesome, but they didn't look terrible. This was the first game where they've looked really bad. It started slow, it got worse, and it snowballed from there. So I think this is a week you just kind of take and toss out. You can't take too much from it. And like you said, kind of got to come back down to earth a little bit, regroup. And moving forward, you have to like where this team's at. And the best offensive line in the league. They have a top 3 rushing attack. They have a good young quarterback who's going to get better. I think Mariota is going to play better like we saw last year in the final 12, 13 weeks. We saw him get much better, and I think we'll see a similar turnaround this year because he hasn't quite hit his stride yet, and I think he will down the road here. And when he does, I think this team's really going to take off.
Yeah, I mean, his performance yesterday before he exited the game was very uncharacteristic of him. He turned it over twice through two interceptions, which were pretty bad throws, to be honest with you. That's not his MO. He's someone who takes care of the football. He threw 9 interceptions all of last season in 15 starts. So you're right. I really think that was very uncharacteristic of him. It's not something I expect to continue. And as you mentioned, good point with sort of being the fan police on kind of how to treat this team after 4 weeks. I mean, if you want to make any less sense of it, the Houston Texans killed the Tennessee Titans last week. Or yesterday, I should say, the Jacksonville Jaguars killed the Houston Texans week 1, and the Tennessee Titans killed the Jacksonville Jaguars week 2. So it doesn't make a ton of sense right now. The division's kind of up and down all over the place. The Titans will look a lot better than they did yesterday. I would imagine that'll be their worst performance of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Mariota's MO of holding on to the football. You mentioned he threw 9 interceptions last year. He threw 5 of those interceptions in the first 4 games. And then over his last 11 games, threw only 4. So, like I said, there's another stride he's going to hit, and I think they'll really be fine. And it's going to have to start this week against Miami, though, especially if Matt Castle starts. I think this is still a very winnable game for the Titans.
I agree with you. Now, people listening to this might think we're both crazy, but I absolutely believe the Titans can go to Miami next weekend with Matt Castle at quarterback and win this game. I think you look at yesterday's situation, Castle was very bad, but he came into a very bad situation. He entered a game down 37-14 against a team who did not have to fear the run at all, obviously, with a deficit that large. They just kind of pinned their ears back and went after the quarterback. They forced him into a couple turnovers. Going into Miami next weekend, you're going to see a run-heavy approach to start the game. I don't imagine that they'll fall behind 21-0 as they did to Houston, especially against this Miami offense, which has been incredibly anemic to start the season. I think you give Castle a week of practice and reps with the ones. I think he'll be well prepared. I think they'll have a good game plan to get the ball out of his hands quickly when he does throw it, and they'll get pretty creative with the weapons that they have.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You mentioned this Dolphins offense, 32nd in the league in points scored. They've scored 25 points in 3 games, including getting shut out by the Saints in London. The Saints defense is bad, by the way, breaking news. They're 32nd in the league in points scored, 32nd in the league in yards. Their passing offense is 28th in the league. Their rushing offense is 30th. Like, this is a team that cannot move the football. And then on defense, they do come in with the 5th-ranked rush defense, but their pass defense isn't great, and they're 27th. And I think the Titans will find ways, like you said, to move the ball against them. That run defense hasn't really faced any tests yet. They gave up 111 yards to the Chargers, who have Melvin Gordon, who's a good running back. But after that, they had the Jets, who don't have much of a running game, and the Saints, who don't have much of a running game. So I think those numbers are a little bit skewed for them on that side of the ball. They certainly have a talented defense, but the Titans should be able to move around anybody with that offensive line.
I agree. I mean, let's face it, though, the Dolphins aren't stupid. If Matt Castle goes into this game as the starting quarterback, if Matt Castle goes into this game as the starting quarterback, then I fully expect the Dolphins to stack the box and defend the run. And I think it's important for the Titans to stay very patient with the run game. It might struggle early, and fans will be yelling at their television to throw the ball, but I expect Mullarkey and Trubisky to stay patient and keep running it if Castle is the starting quarterback. And one more point I want to make on the defense. I think
Please.
this is an excellent matchup for the defense, the Titans defense, to kind of know where they're at. A, it's an excellent bounce back candidate. Obviously, as we mentioned, Miami's anemic offense, so the Titans can kind of hopefully rebuild some confidence on the defensive side of the ball, or they can let Jay Cutler look like a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and then maybe we can go into full-blown panic mode.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where we're going to find out. If this team can go in, regardless of who's under center, and beat the Dolphins, beat them soundly, move the football on the ground, play solid defense, you have to feel good about where they're at, even with the 57-14 loss. There's not I don't think there's a more ideal situation for them, honestly. They're playing a Dolphins team who's coming off back-to-back road games, one of them in London. They have problems at quarterback. They haven't been able to move the ball, and it doesn't look like they're going to be breaking out anytime soon. So this is a chance for them being the Titans. This is a chance for the Titans to really kind of reestablish themselves as a dominant team. And I think if they go out and really put it on the Dolphins and, win by 20 plus, I think a lot of people will very quickly forget about that game against Houston.
I completely agree. And, you never want your star quarterback to miss any games, but the more you think about it, if Mariota was forced to miss a single game this year, there's a chance this is the best one for a number of reasons. As we mentioned, it's a very winnable game, even with Castle at quarterback. And on top of it, hamstring injury, it's key to rest and get as much, time off of it as possible. Coming back the week after, you don't play until Monday night. So you get that extra day of rest that he can have in return for a crucial home division game against the Colts, a team they haven't beaten in a long time, and a team they need to get that monkey off their back. But that's looking ahead. But I think it could be really ideal where if Mariota's forced to miss a single game this year, hopefully this is the only one.
Yeah, that's. I think that's really going to be the main concern all week. I think a lot of people have put the Texans game behind them, and now it's kind of all eyes on Mariota to see how he does respond. And I wrote today that because Mike Mularkey said they're still weighing whether they will sign another quarterback or not. You think that they're going to just promote Tyler Ferguson if Mariota's not good to go?
Yeah, I do. I think if Mariota's not good to go, it'll be the only game he's expected to miss.
Right.
I don't imagine that they're going to, you know, head to the streets and look for a quarterback who hasn't been in this system. Tyler Ferguson was with the team in camp and all throughout preseason. He's certainly not ready to play in the NFL, but he knows the system. He knows the playbook. I think they'll just probably go ahead and promote him.
Yeah, it would seem to make the most sense, unless they really think that should Castle go down, unless they think it will be so catastrophic to bring him in that they'd rather bring in Matt McGloin or RG3 or something. they would just promote Ferguson. Ultimately, their hands are a little bit tied because Mariota's a game-time decision. And if he says Sunday, or if they determine Sunday he can't go, they need a backup quarterback. You can't roll into a game with one QB. So they will bring somebody up. They'll have to lose somebody off the 53-man roster. Not a super ideal situation, but I think they'll take it in lieu of having to miss Mariota for, you know, 6 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they, what did they keep? Did they keep six or seven corners?
Yeah, six.
This past weekend. Yeah, so I imagine you'd probably lose one of those corners. I think, is it Ty Smith who might be the sixth corner?
Yeah.
I think you'd probably scratch Ty Smith and bring up Tyler Ferguson and have him active. Even if Mariota is active, you're still going to want another quarterback active in an emergency situation. So I think Tyler Ferguson will be that guy.
Hopefully, though, it's not an issue. I'm assuming it will be. I think we're both on the same page there that Mariota probably won't play Sunday. But hopefully something happens this week where he gets into practice, says he's fine, he's good to go, and he can air it out on Sunday.
That would absolutely be the best case scenario. They need him out there. They need him under center to win ball games. But you know, with a hamstring, it's one of those things that can linger. It's concerning. And as we've mentioned, you know, it's week five. He got the extra day of rest coming back on Monday night the following week. It's not a division game. It's a team that's, you know, Miami, who's struggling. It seems to be a winnable game without Mariota. Mularkey's history is one of extreme caution when it's come to Mariota's health. So yeah. I'll be very surprised if he plays. And on top of it, you don't want him to play less than 100% and re-aggravate it and just kind of create a bigger problem down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it earlier. They have a ton of winnable games coming up. They're going to start getting healthy. If you get a fully healthy Mariota in there, you get a fully healthy Corey Davis back, which I assume will happen in the next couple weeks. Not going to happen this week. Mularkey ruled him and Jonathan Cyprian out against the Dolphins. But if you do get Davis back in the next couple of weeks, that gives them enough time to get things moving on offense and time for a playoff push. But for now, they just have to keep their head above water. And luckily for them, they're in a division where it doesn't look like anybody's going to run away with it.
No, absolutely not. As I mentioned, I think somewhere between 8 to 10 wins will be enough to win this division. I think they just, as you said, got to keep their head above water, hover around 500 while they get healthy, and that'll give themselves enough wiggle room to make a late playoff push, if it should come to that.
And along those same lines, talking about the division, the Colts announced today that Andrew Luck would start practicing this week, which could put him on track to make his season debut Monday night in Nashville against the Titans. So that might that could be a potentially huge game in the AFC South standings, and the Titans are going to get the Colts' best crack at it if they do throw Luck out there.
Very interesting. It kind of feels like the Colts have been targeting that game as his return for a while now. It's a Monday nighter. It's a division game. I would like to think the Titans secondary would probably hope that he's not ready for that game.
Yeah, it would. I mean, nobody on the Titans defense is going to tell you they don't want a shot at Andrew Luck because they want every team's best shot. But They would also certainly take a win if it's Jacoby Brissett or Scott Tolzien under center for sure.
Yeah, that'll be a very important game, especially if they roll out Castle and lose to the Dolphins. That'll be a very important game. Can't fall to 2-4. Can't fall to 1-2 in the division. So if Luck is back, yeah, that'll be a massive, massive game.
Yeah, so put the 57-14 loss behind them. The Titans have two very important games coming up, and from there they will have to see where they're at, like you said, heading into their bye week. So looking forward to this next week, regardless of whether it's Castle or Mariota under center. I think the Titans can come out with a victory, like you said. Even with Castle under, they're going to have to run the football against a tough Dolphins defense, but I think they certainly have the guys to do it. They showed against the Seahawks they can move the ball against anybody. That's one of the best defenses in the league, and I think they'll show that again on Sunday.
And it's important to recall as well. I don't remember what the score of that game was. I'm kind of just remembering it now. But they actually went into Miami last season and thoroughly dominated the Dolphins. And the Dolphins were a pretty good team last year, and I can remember watching that game. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry absolutely dominated that game. And I think Rishard Matthews might have caught two touchdowns in that game as well. He's a former Dolphin. But the Titans went into Miami last year and absolutely dominated. So that's got to be a good sign, good omen. Neither of those teams have changed very much over the last year personnel-wise. So it's got to be a good sign as well for the Titans.
Yeah, if anything, the Dolphins have gotten considerably worse under center with Jay Cutler back there instead of Ryan Tannehill. But
I was trying to be nice. Just went ahead and threw that right out.
No, I'm firmly in the Jay Cutler hive. Like, I still stand for Jay Cutler. for whatever reason.
Your build guy.
I know, man.
Sure loves him.
But the Dolphins went on, you mentioned that they lost to the Titans last year 30-17. And as usual, your remembrance of games is pretty spot on. Derrick Henry had 54 yards in that game on the ground. DeMarco Murray had 121, and Rishard Matthews had four catches for 32 yards and one touchdown.
No, I was off on the touchdown total.
Unreal. but no, they pretty thoroughly dominated that game. And the Dolphins went on, like you said, they were 1-4 in that game, but they ended up finishing their season 10-6. So they won 9 of their next 11 to make the playoffs, and they eventually lost to Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But no, this is going to be a tough test for the Titans, especially if it's Castle under center. But I certainly think it's a winnable game, and should they go into Miami and win, spirits will be high, and I think that tough loss to the Texans will very quickly be put behind everybody.
Absolutely, you learn quickly that this game is week to week. You know, you kind of got to learn how to ride the highs and lows a little bit, which is what I hope Titans fans are trying to do right now. You got to learn how to ride the highs and lows, but changes week to week, and it's really any given Sunday. Anyone can beat anyone on any Sunday, and as you mentioned, it kind of just snowballed out of control yesterday. Happens to the best of them. I remember watching that game last year between Pittsburgh and Philly, where the Eagles won that game. It was something like 40-3.
Yeah.
You know, the Steelers were a damn good team, and, you know, that happened to them last year. They got punched in the mouth. It kind of just got out of control. So it happens again. I think more importantly is how do you respond? How do you get back up from a game like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And they will do so Sunday in Miami, noon Central Time kickoff. And we will be live tweeting all the action. You can find me on Twitter, Kyle A. Madsen. You can find Justin at Justin M. That's M as in Michael, _ NFL. And we're bringing you all the action. And be sure to follow the Titans Wire on Facebook at Titans Wire, and then on Twitter as well at the Titans Wire. Justin, you got anything else for us, or are we going to roll out and go get some things done?
I think we're going to roll out and get some things done. I think
getting things done, I mean, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, me as well. Me as well. But very anxious to hop back on the podcast next week and recap the Miami game. Very curious to see what's going to happen with Mariota. What's going to happen with Castle? How does the defense respond? Does the offense start slow again, or do they start fast? What's the game plan on both sides of the ball after obviously a very poorly executed game plan last weekend on both sides of the ball? So a lot of interesting things to watch in that Miami game, and I look forward to recapping it with you on our next episode.
There you have it. That's it. It's the Titans Wire podcast. Like I said, at the Titans Wire on Twitter, And then Titans Wire on Facebook as well. Follow Justin at JustinM_NFL. And you can follow me at Kyle A. Madsen. And we will see you guys next week. This has been the Titans Wire podcast brought to you by TitansWire.com.